says Happy Sunday, and today is also Happy Father's Day. We're going to call it Happy Father Mother's Day, Mother Father's Day, because that's really the truth. The truth is that we have one Mother Father, Holy Father, who is source of all of us, and I guess today's topic will speak more on that. I noticed that we didn't have a chance so far to say send our blessings to all that are here and gathered here on this Father's Day. So I'm going to ask Lynn if maybe you play a little bit more of that, a few more bars, to give people a chance to share their love and their light and their blessings here on this wonderful day. It's a wonderful day in the neighborhood. Lynn, I'm going to turn this mic over to you to just a few more bars to give people a chance to just share their love.
Everybody here, standing in wonder, beneath the rain and the thunder, rising in love. Shanti Satchidananda. Chidananda, oh Shanti, oh Shanti, Satchidananda, oh Shanti.
Okay, thank you so much for that. Thanks all for sharing your light and your love, your peace and your joy. Today's topic is going to be the test for truth, and I've asked Kathy Smith right here to be my reader. We'll be doing that in just a few moments. Let's take a look at some of the things that I need to do first. Our purpose is we are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose. I think the key word here is purpose. Awakening to one true self. Wow, one true self. Within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, many symbols, we seek to discern one truth. That's exactly what we were speaking on, one truth, and to rest in its embrace. And of the five core values, I chose number, I tell you, it wasn't easy making a choice because they all speak to me the same, but I took number five. We accept all forms as temporary appearances permitted through enduring awareness of self. We live this value by honoring all appearances and all experiences while continually reflecting on changeless truth. We live this value by honoring all appearances. Yes, we honor them. We bless them. And all experiences while continually reflecting on the changeless truth. And that's pretty much what we'll be speaking about today. And now for some announcements. which I'm going to get to in just a second. Okay, your first announcement is this is the last week to register for a fall pilgrimage to Italy with Reverend Regina Dornacre's Basilica, Reverend Regina Dornacre's Basilica of the Catacombs and of Saint Sebastian, Pompeii, the monastery the last word is not here on this page, but light teaching will inspire deep contemplative reflection of each site visited for the short pilgrimage from October 20 to October 28th, leaving the U.S. on October 19th. Then we'll have some free time in Assisi for those who want to stay longer. Learn more at awakening-together.org under retreats and classes. Under retreats and classes. Okay. So we have just a few more days for that to register. I think the last day to register basically is this Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken. We have the second announcement. We have four open 30-minute time slots waiting for someone to answer the call. So this is for anyone who would like to take your place among the teachers right here at Awakening Together. And that's Mondays from 8 to 8:30, and also Mondays from 5 to 5:30. I'm sorry, that's Mondays from 8 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Mondays from 8 to 8:30 Eastern Time. That's 5 to 5:30 Pacific Time. There's also a Wednesday night slot, a Wednesday time slot from 6 to 6:30 Eastern Time, and that is same as 3 to 3:30 Pacific Time. If you're interested in any of these, please get in touch with Rev. Ken Gibson at Awakening Together Sanctuary at gmail.com. The trustee elections are currently in progress. This summer, we're going to elect three new members to the board who are active and invested in the future of Awakening Together. You may send your email to Regina at awakening-together.org. You may also support a candidate who has who feels that if you know a candidate that you think fits this description, you can support a candidate, because nominees must receive support from 10% of the member population. Please look under the Things to Read, quote, Things to Read menu on our website, awakening-together.org. The nomination support process starts soon. And then finally, join us tonight from 7:30 to 9 o'clock. That's 4:30 to 6 o'clock Pacific Time for our satsang with Jack Schwartz. For those people who know Jack, I think you're going to find this incredibly valuable to listen in. Satsang starts at 7:30. He unveils his timeless knowledge with clarity, candor, and humor. He will be discussing the Vedanta teachings and explore the similarities in the teachings that belong to the Vedanta's understanding of self-knowledge, which systematically reveals the nature of reality. So that seems to be a place to be this evening, Sunday night, 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here at Awakening Together Sanctuary. All right, I have one more announcement with Regina's permission. John Mundy and myself, with a few others, Lynn Johnson, are holding a Columbus Day weekend retreat for those people, especially in the northeast part of the United States, in the New York, New Jersey, New England area. Basically, it's presented by One Mind Foundation, called The Awakening to the One Mind. So the speakers, which include John Mundy, Dr. Rod Shelberg, Lisa Natoli and Bill Free, Lynn Johnson, Dr. Dana Morocco, Vicky Thomas. Some of you know her as Vicky Poppy. Chris Pelham and Yusuko Kasaki, and a few others. It's going to be October 5, 6, and 7. That's Columbus Day weekend of this fall. October 5, 6, 7 at Stony Point, 1 hour north of New York City, very close to the New York City area. For me, it's only like a 45-minute drive. So if you're in that tri-state area, Connecticut, New Jersey, even those people from Massachusetts might find coming to Stony Point something, if you're not doing anything on that Columbus Day weekend, is going to be called Awakening to the One Mind. And if you want further information, just contact John Mundy at john@miraclesmagazine.org. John, J-O-N, at miraclesmagazine.org. Okay. I'm going to ask Lynn if you play a little bit more music, and then we'll ask for Kathy to read from today's reading. Okay, turning this mic on over to you. That's my wife. God bless. God bless. Lynn, the mic is all yours.
Tears before the living truth appears in a form you can't ignore. And when she comes for you, you realize she's courted you through other eyes. But somehow it took this disguise bring you to the door. Where she's standing with an outstretched hand, motioning, and you don't understand. But you take a leap, you have no need but this love. She'll steal your mind, steal your rest by lighting fires in your chest. And like an overbearing guest, she won't leave you alone. If you go with her, you won't be back, and she won't leave you time think or pack. You'll be late, but you won't lack, and love will be your home. And she's standing with an outstretched hand, motioning, and you may not understand, but you take her the lead, for you have no storylines. How many years of hide and seek, how many tears before the living truth appears and comes to take you home.
Thank you so much for that, Len. Len Johnson, music director here, always has the perfect song at the perfect time, perfect place. And I'm just going to say a short prayer, which I'm guided to do at this moment. Holy Spirit, I put you in charge. At my request, knowing the direction that you lead brings us all peace. If it's a word that I need, that will be surely given. If it's a thought, that is given as well. And if it's a still and tranquil mind, that will be mine also. And for all of this, we are grateful and we give thanks. We give thanks and we are grateful for all that we receive here. We need not know what to say or what to do, for everything will be given to us. And that's pretty much what the test for truth is that the truth is always true and nothing else is true. We really need do nothing except to step back and allow Spirit to lead the way. Okay, I'm going to turn this mic over to you, Kathy Smith, to do today's reading. Kathy, the mic is all yours.
Good morning. I just was putting my phone up as you helped to remind me, Dove, to do that. My phone is dinging and clanging often, so it can be a distraction, and I don't want the distraction. Today, I've been asked to read The Test of Truth from A Course in Miracles. If any of you would like to follow along, it's chapter 14, and it's section 11, and I will be reading 1, 2, 3, 5, and 6 paragraphs. And it starts off with the word yet. And yet, I looked up the word yet, which can be substituted for like still, you know, still now, right now. So it says, yet the essential thing is learning that you do not know. Knowledge is power, and all power is of God. You who have tried to keep power for yourself have lost it, and the lost is in quotes. So again, you who have tried to keep power for yourself have lost it. You still have the power, but you have interposed so much between it and your awareness of it that you cannot use it. Everything you have taught yourself has made your power more and more obscure to you. You know not what it is, nor where. You have made a semblance of power and a show of strength so pitiful that it must fail you. For power is not a seeming strength, and truth is beyond semblance of any kind. Yet all that stands between you and the power of God in you is but your learning of the false and of your attempts to undo the true. Be willing, then, for all of it to be undone, and be glad that you are not bound to it forever. For you have taught yourself how to imprison the Son of God, a lesson so unthinkable that only the insane, in deepest sleep, could even dream of it. Can God learn how not to be God? And can his son, given all power by him, learn to be powerless? What have you taught yourself that you can possibly prefer to keep in place of what you have and what you are? Atonement teaches you how to escape forever from everything that you have taught yourself in the past by showing you only what you are now. Learning has been accomplished before its effects are manifest. I'm going to read that again. Learning has been accomplished before its effects are manifest. Learning is therefore in the past, but its influence determines the present by giving it whatever meaning it holds for you. Your learning gives the present no meaning at all. Nothing you have ever learned can help you understand the present or teach you how to undo the past. Your past is what you have taught yourself. Let it all go. Do not attempt to understand any event or anything or anyone in its, quote, light, for the darkness in which you try to see can only obscure. Put no confidence at all in darkness to illuminate your understanding. For if you do, you contradict the light and thereby think you see the darkness, yet darkness cannot be seen. For it is nothing more than a condition in which seeing becomes impossible. You have one test, as sure as God, by which to recognize if what you learned is true. If you are wholly free of fear of any kind, and if all those who meet or even think of you share in your perfect peace, then you can be sure that you have learned God's lesson and not your own. Unless all this is true, there are dark lessons in your mind that hurt and hinder you and everyone around you. The absence of perfect peace means but one thing. You think you do not will for God's son what his father wills for him. Every dark lesson teaches this in one form or another. And each bright lesson with which the Holy Spirit will replace the dark ones you do not accept teaches you that you will with the Father and his Son. Do not be concerned about how you can learn a lesson so completely different from everything that you have taught yourself. How would you know? Your part is very simple. You need only recognize that everything you learned you do not want. Ask to be taught, and do not use your experiences to confirm what you have learned. When your peace is threatened or disturbed in any way, say to yourself, I do not know what anything, including this, means. And so, I don't know how to respond to it. And I will not use my own past learning as the light to guide me now. By this refusal to attempt to teach yourself what you do not know, the guide whom God has given you will speak to you. He will take his rightful place in your awareness, the instant you abandon it and offer it to him. And that is the conclusion of the reading. I'm giving up the mic.
All right, thank you so much for that, Kathy. Truly, listening to what Kathy was saying, even though this section of the course called the Test of Truth, Chapter 14, Section 11, is 15 paragraphs long. So if you, I suggest that all take a look at this. Why do we have a test for truth? Kind of reminds me of whenever you're under some kind of a medical treatment in which they're trying to understand if the medical treatment is working or not. Somewhere in the middle, I know, like anyone who goes through treatment for cancer or anything, they want to know if the cancer is gone or not. They ask you to take either a CAT scan or an MRI. That's called the test for truth in medical terms. You want to really see if it's working or not. And I like the way that basically the course does have this. It's like a place to take a step back and say, well, all the stuff that I think I am learning, you know, is it working? You know, pretty much as Dr. Phil says, how is the course working for you? And the test for truth gives you, in those 15 paragraphs, all of the things to take a look at to recognize whether you're teaching yourself truth or you're just kind of in the same place, just walking on a treadmill going nowhere. And if you notice that in those five paragraphs that Kathy read, you have such things as the very first line, very first sentence. I always like to say Jesus gives you everything in the first couple lines, first couple of sentences, first paragraph, and everything he does, he gives it all to you. And it says, the essential thing is learning that you do not know. And you do not know, as Kathy pointed out, is all in italics. You do not know. So, you know, I'm thinking of my own life, my own history of doing the course. I started the course in 1977, and I was fortunate enough to be asked to lead a group in 1980, and out of that group in 1980, I recognized that people thought that I knew something that they didn't know, and I kind of knew that that wasn't true. So I was given some divine guidance to ask all the people that were gathered, listen, instead of asking me questions thinking that I know what you think you don't know, why don't we all take turns and take turns as a rotating moderator to be responsible for teaching yourself what it is that you most need to learn. It's not that I know something that you don't know. That's always the ego's idea. Somebody outside of me knows something that I don't know, and if I ask them the right questions, then I'll know what they know. Well, that's not true, by the way. In the song for prayer, Jesus kind of laughs and says, that's impossible. That's impossible. Because the knowing of the course has nothing to do with learning anything in this world. There's nothing to learn. In a way, the course is a course in unlearning, in undoing. It's nothing to do with learning or doing. It was out of that experience way back in 1982 where people took their place among the teachers. Many of them went on to become very, very powerful teachers of other teachers once they recognized that they were responsible for developing trust in their higher self. And, of course, from my way of looking at the course is really about developing total trust in our true self. There's that wonderful line in the course that says, trust would settle all problems now. Of course, when the course talks about trust, it's talking about 100% trust, where you finally let go, holding on to nothing, free falling, just letting go. That nothing in the past means anything. That's total trust. That I am as love created me. I am the light and the peace of God. I don't need to learn anything. And that's what we're doing when we are training our mind to say, I do not know, because you're letting go. Just a few moments ago, as Kathy was reading, I reminded myself of Regina and I used to be co-presenters at the Course in Miracles conferences that are held by Community Miracle Center. And we were together in Chicago. I know that Jay remembers that pretty well, because Jay was definitely there. Picked us up at the airport, picked me and John Mundy up at the airport. And Regina and I were doing a session together, and I had asked for a whiteboard, a magic marker and a whiteboard. I hardly ever do that, ask for a magic marker and a whiteboard when I present. But this time I wanted to graphically show what trust is really all about. At that particular point, I had realized that I had spent 27 years of my life literally thinking that I'm learning something. Every time I found something new in the Course in Miracles, oh, I never saw that before. Isn't that wonderful? I never saw that before. And I thought I was learning something, you know, and I kept looking at the book as telling me, you know, who I am and what I am. And it took me 27 years to recognize that those were just concepts, symbols, words that I was reading in a book. It was long about 2004 that I actually heard Jesus say to me, hey, Dove, you think you're going to find yourself in a book? You can't find yourself in a book. A book is concepts, words, symbols. God doesn't create concepts, words, symbols. What God creates is love, peace, changeless, eternal. You don't find that in books. You have to have that experience. So what I drew on the whiteboard that I had, an easel, was, most of you recognize, a parabolic curve, one that kind of rises up and then comes to the top and then comes down the other side. And that's like a parabola. And I see that as a learning curve. In your learning curve, you keep getting from books and from others, thinking that others know something that you don't know. And, you know, and I come to all the meetings and I listen to what they have to say. And I try to glom it, to grok it, to understand it. Oh, now I understand that. Now I understand that. And I drew a parabolic curve for my learning curve, which was 27 years up, a very long curve up. And then around 2004, I heard Jesus say to me, hey, Dove, you think you can find yourself in a book? Close the book already. And that's when I realized that this course is not about learning. It's about unlearning. It's about developing trust in who and what I am. You find that in the final chapter of A Course in Miracles, chapter 31, section 5. It's called Self-Concept versus Self. And the last paragraph, paragraph 17, it says, there's nothing that this world or the ego, there's nothing that your ego is more afraid to hear than this. I do not know who I am, what I am. I don't even know where I am. I have no idea what this world is. Yet in these words is salvation born. Remember, only salvation can be said to cure. So until you come to the place, I do not know what anything is for, you're still whistling Dixie. That That line in paragraph 17 goes on to say, this is where salvation is born. And what I am, what you are, will tell you of itself. Yeah, I'm trusting that I am as God created. I am eternal. I'm always here. God's voice speaks to me all through the day. God goes with me wherever I go. I walk with God in perfect happiness, perfect gratitude. I'm never separate and apart from God. So what am I trusting in? My own learning curve? Something I learned from a book? Or do I want to be one with Source, with the love and the peace of God that created me? Because that's what I am. You come into this world with nothing more than the peace of God. And when you leave this dream, you only take what you came here with, nothing else. Because there really is nothing else. But yet, we do have to awaken from the dream. Because as long as I think there's something else, I think there's more. I need to learn more. There's more to learn. I haven't finished this course yet. Oh, I've done the lessons a number of times, but I still don't understand everything. So when I told you about this session that I did with Regina in Chicago in 2013, on the same page that I show this very steep learning curve, learning a parabola that went way up to the top of the page, and he says, that was my learning curve. And I said, and here's Regina's learning curve. Regina started the course around 2003, 2004, something like that. She arrived at ACIM Gather in 2005, which, of course, ACIM Gather was the predecessor to Awakening Together. And very quickly, she started, I think, on May 1, I believe it was, a Sunday night. And as she said, the first time she picked up the microphone, she had butterflies in her stomach. And she didn't know what to say or what to do. But by the end of the first year, she recognized that she was listening to Spirit speaking to her and through her. And she began to develop trust in this voice. And instead of only having one session a week, by the end of the first year, she was doing 4 sessions a week. And she was listening to this voice for Spirit, the voice for God speaking to her. Of course, it was only a year later that she came to me and said, do you mind if I do a thing called Holy Spirit's NTI, Holy Spirit's Interpretation of the New Testament? And I said no, and she started in 2006, and by the end of 2008 she had completed all the books of the New Testament in NTI, which many of us now love and appreciate. And she was developing Spirit, trust in Spirit, at a very, very young age on her learning curve. That's why her learning curve was not one of those sharp rises and sharp falls like mine. Hers was a very gradual up and a very long, even period in which she was listening to the voice for God, the voice for Spirit, the voice for love speaking to her and through her. And she gave birth to NTI, which we're all very proud of. And that's the difference between developing total trust and thinking that you're going to learn something, whether it's from a book or listening to somebody else telling you what they have learned, which is really what they have given to themselves. As Regina used to say, my lessons are not your lessons, and your lessons are not my lessons. You know, we're all here, we're all given our own highly individualized curriculum. And I'm here to say that if you want to shorten your learning curve, recognize that the test for truth doesn't require learning of any kind in this world. Because there's nothing in this world you want to learn. Nothing. Which is pretty much what we heard Kathy speak of. You've taught yourself very poorly. Yeah, you know that because you think you have more to learn. Living on a horizontal timeline, thinking that, oh, in the future I'll know something that I don't know now. When all that really exists is the eternal now. So she says, your past is what you have taught yourself. Let it all go. And that you find in the third paragraph of today's reading, The Test of Truth. Let it all go. Tells you this in so many places. Probably one of the most quoted paragraphs in all the course. So many people have brought this paragraph to this room and to ACIM Gather. From lesson 189, I feel the love of God within me now. I feel the love of God within me now. And he asked the question, how can you feel the love of God within you now if you find yourself in a place in which there seems to be so much conflict and confusion and complexity, and you have fears and times in which you are depressed and angry? How can you feel this love of God that you talk about? When you get down to paragraph 7, he tells you exactly how to do it. Simply do this. Be still. And when he says that, he's talking about stilling the mind. Because the mind, the ego thought system, the conceptual mind, is always searching, looking for answers in a world that has no answers at all. Oh yes, someone told me about a book, I'm going to read that book. I think my saving grace, when I look back in my own life, is once I found the course, it took me about a year and a half to 2 years to recognize that I didn't really want to read anything else anymore. That actually, I recognized that this was not written by an ego. And what was I going to do? Read another book written by another ego? So I might say it's from the time I found the course, which was in 1977, I have not really read another book, and outside of NTI, by the way, outside of NTI. Actually, I didn't really have to read NTI, you know, although we were teaching it here. Regina gave us the books of the New Testament every single week, and we all went through it together. There was one other book I did read by Shoyam Trungpa called Cutting Through Spiritual Materialism. Shoyam Trungpa, of course, is the Tibetan Buddhist leader who came over to the United States from the Himalayas, from Tibet, to teach Western civilization Tibetan Buddhism. He came to Boulder, Colorado in the winter, spring of 1971. I always feel that so much was... He didn't write a book, by the way. That was... He gave a series of talks, and everything he said was put into that book, Cutting Through Spiritual Materialism. And he was kind of making fun of the spiritual ego, in which he basically says, oh, yes, now I know, you know, now I'm not like all the other people. Now I know I'm above all others, you know. in some way or another, the spiritual ego always gives itself away. You can just look at it and realize that you're still listening to the ego, even though it's now an intelligent ego. And it knows how to be appropriate, to do the right thing. So I found that book to be interesting. But I think that one of my saving graces was I recognized at a very early time that the Course was to be believed entirely or not at all, as he says in chapter 22. This Course is to be believed entirely or not at all. And getting right back to the very first line in what Kathy read, the essential thing is learning that you do not know. I did adopt that back in 2004 as my mantra lesson, lesson 25, which most of you are somewhat familiar with. Lesson 25 says, I do not know what anything is for. And I found that to be a saving grace. It has helped me day in and day out. Because the moment you get upset, the moment you get serious, thinking that this really means something, you know, or else I wouldn't be so upset, angry, afraid, you do your lesson and said, I do not know what anything here is for. And then he starts off that lesson, the very first three words, which is the first sentence of the lesson, is a three-word sentence. I always say, if he gives you a three-, four-, five-word sentence, he doesn't want you to miss it. He doesn't lose it in some iambic pentameter run-on sentence. He says, purpose is meaning. The is in italics. Purpose is meaning. What is your purpose? Because if your purpose in this world is to learn something, that's the ego's purpose. The ego says, I have more to learn. You know, please don't ask me to be a teacher of God, a minister of God. I'm not there yet. After I do this course, I'll be there. After I finish this, I'll be there. No. That's living in time. Time is a prison. And the only thing that you can say about time is that you think that everything you learned in the past, you're going to use in the future. And you always put the outcome in the future based on the past. And, oh, yes, you have every right to say, well, I'm not there yet. Please don't call on me. But yet, the call to awaken is given to all. The call to remember that you are the love of God is given to all. But if you say, I'm not there yet, basically you think you have a different program, a different schedule. I'm on my own agenda. No. By simply saying, I do not know, as that paragraph 7 of lesson 189 says, simply do this. Be still. Still your mind. Quiet your mind. Rest. Rest. Accept. Trust. Rest. Accept. Trust. That same paragraph 7 says, do not take with you one thought you ever had about what you are. Do not take with you one thought that you ever had of what God is. Nothing that you ever thought was true or real or good or right. Nothing that you were ever ashamed of. Shame includes guilt. Nothing that you ever felt guilty of, nothing you ever felt ashamed of. Let it all go. Hold on to nothing. Three-word sentence in that paragraph. Hold on to nothing. If you hold on to anything in this world, that's the ego holding on for you, for dear life. Yeah. The ego only knows it exists because it learned something from the past. yeah, this is who I am. I'm God's son. If the ego is telling you that you're God's son, you have a lot of problems. The only way you know that you are God's son is that you live in peace now. Not in the future, but now. Into his holy presence would I enter now. Now, it does take some, I'll use the word doing, to finally get to a place of peace now. Of the 50 miracle principles, he tells you, the only one that you're really responsible for of the entire 50 is number 7. Miracles, which is the love of God, are everyone's right. Yes, you are the Son of God. But purification is necessary first. I am responsible. I am responsible for forgiving the thoughts that I have believed to be true that have no truth at all. Only the truth is true. The truth is always here. Only the truth is real. That which is real cannot be threatened. That which is untrue, that which is unreal, doesn't even exist. Herein lies the peace of God. He tells you this whole course of 1,300 pages can be summed up in those few lines. Can I accept it? I took a look at the different ways that you can start to let go of the past and be of a new mind, a beginner's mind, which says, I do not know. I think there's the top down, which is what I did use myself, and then there's the bottom up. And I think the obviously both work. I did the top down because I want to give thanks to the program that I did just before I found the Course in Miracles called EST with Werner Erhard. Some of you may have heard of that. And before I ever heard of a Course in Miracles, I had recognized that the voice in my head, the voice that I think is my voice telling me what's good and what's bad, what's right and what's wrong, that I could judge good and evil, that I could even judge, wasn't my friend. Not only wasn't my friend, it didn't even know who or what I am. I had that going into the course. So when I heard about a course in 1977 from a guy who had spent a whole day with Helen Schuckman and saying, I tell you what, I spent a whole day with her, but after the first 20 minutes, I knew this woman could never possibly have ever written A Course in Miracles. She was so judgmental, so narrow-minded, so provincial. It couldn't possibly be her. So I was in a room of 250 people who heard him say this, and I shouted from the back of the room, well, if she didn't write it, who did? And a person right next to me whispered in my ear, can you imagine that divine whisper? It doesn't matter who wrote it. Just get the books and start with lesson number 1 and go as far as you can. Go as far as you can. I guess if I didn't hear that voice speaking to my ear and say, it doesn't matter who wrote it, just get the lesson book, start with lesson number 1. And what's lesson number 1? Nothing I see here means anything. Oh my God. The moment I saw that, I said, wow! This is for me. Because I had done this other work before I ever found the course. And I guess that I was blessed that particular way because I said, wow, that's right. Nothing I see here means anything. And then he goes on to tell you, lesson two, well, just in case anything here means anything, just remember your ego gives it all the meaning it has for you. That's why you take things so seriously, Dove. That's why you get so upset, Dove. You give meaning to the meaningless. Yeah, and your meaningless thoughts are showing you a meaningless world. And a meaningless world engenders fear. And why would meaningless thoughts engender fear? Did you ever look at that, Dove? Well, because I think I'm in competition. Yeah, I'm in competition with God. After all, God created me and I made my own world, and I'm trying to give meaning to things that I think have meaning, and I'm giving meaning to things that have no meaning at all. I seem not to have the peace that I used to have. I want that peace. I want that love. I want to know that I'm special. Ain't that special? Knowing that you're special? So the test for truth, taking that CAT scan or MRI to see where are you, is the recognition that I am as God created me. That's simply the same thing as it says in that paragraph 7. Simply do this, be still. Hold on to nothing. Forget this world. What does forget this world mean? Forget everything you ever learned. Because anything you ever learned is nothing. There's nothing here. It's a dream. We all share the same purpose. Only purpose has meaning. What's that one purpose we all share? To remember the truth of what I am. That's the test for truth, is we all share the same interest, the same goal, the same purpose. And only purpose has meaning. That everything here is given to me for me. That nothing here is against me. Nothing. The ego teaches that I have to defend against that which is different. There's nothing different. The only thing that has any meaning is purpose, and we all share the same purpose. There's a line in the Course from chapter 29, section 6. I think I'll put it up here on the board. It says, nothing survives its purpose. Nothing survives its purpose. So if my purpose is to hang out in self-survival, let me get mine before others get theirs, which is the belief in sacrifice, which is the one idea behind all the world's pain and suffering. He tells you this in lesson 187, paragraph 6. Those who understand what true giving means must laugh at all the forms of pain and suffering, of grief, of lack, scarcity, poverty, starvation, and even death, for the one idea behind them all is sacrifice, me before all others. Me, me, me. So whenever Regina talks about the levels of consciousness, you read that the lowest level of thinking is all about survival, my survival. Or you have ascended to the highest level where you are abiding in the peace and the love of God. One is at your lowest vibration, and that will attract all the blame, shame, guilt as your lessons to learn until you recognize that you're doing this to yourself because you think that you are yourself, your little small self. But when you recognize that you are what love created, and I really need do nothing except not to interfere, that all is given to me, that I live in this grace of God. Today's lesson, lesson 168, we live in a state of grace. Let me claim it now. Tomorrow's lesson 169, By grace I live, by grace I am released. We all live in the same grace that we're all perfectly cared for in truth. It's only the ego that says, no, I got to do it myself, that lives in survival. So which end of the spectrum of consciousness do I want to abide in? The one that wants to hold on to the past, thinking that the past can give me something that will help me in the future? No. Hold on to nothing. Forget this world. Forget this course. Yes, the course is a book. It's a concept. You can't take a book home with you. It's a concept. Free fall. Trust. You're in the arms of God. Do you really think you have to learn the way to Him? Don't you think He knows the way to you? Trust. Total trust. And with that, I'm going to close this section. I'm going to ask Lynn to play us a song. And this is the time, if you feel so inspired, to please make a donation to Awakening Together. We do actually appreciate all who contribute to Awakening Together. It's how Awakening Together is able to be here with you and for you. We'll be back if there's anyone wants to share any thoughts at all. Turning this mic back over to you, Lynn. Thank you so much. The mic is all yours. And put up the link. That's a train. Put up the link for donations. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Father, I come to you today to seek the peace that you alone can give. I come in silence, in the quiet of my heart, the deep recesses of my mind, I wait and listen for your voice. My Father, speak to me today. Come to hear your voice in silence and in certainty and love. Sure that you will hear my call. Sure you will hear my call. Sure that you will hear my call and answer me. Peace to my mind, let all my thoughts be still. Peace to my mind, let all my thoughts be to your Son. Speak to us of what we are. Speak to us of what we are. Reveal yourself unto your Son. Speak to us of what we are. Father, I come to you today to seek the peace that you alone can give. I come in silence.
All right, thank you so much for that beautiful music, and that music inspired me to add a few other thoughts here. In this test for truth, it says, you have one test. This is in paragraph 5, which Kathy has already read. You have one test, as sure as God, by which to recognize if what you learned is true. If you are wholly free of fear of any kind, and if all those who you meet or even think of and you share in your own perfect peace, then you can be sure that you have learned God's lessons and not your own. Unless all of this is true, there are dark lessons in your mind that hurt and hinder you and everyone around you. The absence of perfect peace means but one thing. You think you do not will for God's Son what his Father wills for him. That reminds me that I think one of the differences in my own experience is that you share in the happiness and the joys of others. When somebody succeeds in whatever it is that they do and they are joyous and happy, you are joyous and happy with them, for we are really all one. The ego cannot really want somebody else to be happy. If someone else is happy, that means that they have stolen his happiness and they would like to get it back. No, the transition from recognizing that we're all in this together, we're all in the same boat. A rising tide not only lifts all ships, it lifts all of us up. Yes, you want all to find the peace and the happiness and the joy, for their finding their success is your success. Yes, we all share the same purpose. To awaken, to resurrect, to rise above the battleground. Not to remain on the battleground, which is competition. Yeah, you think you're in competition with God, but actually, we experience that competition with each other. If somebody does well, that means that God loves them, doesn't love me. That's how the ego teaches, that you are unloved, that you're unworthy. You live in self-doubt. No. Your happiness and your joy is everybody's happiness and everybody's joy. And their happiness and their joy is your joy. I just wanted to share that. I'm going to open up the mic if anyone wants to share anything at all.